So glad you're in the house of God today. You're going to be blessed, I believe, through the Word of God. You're going to be challenged, but you know, it's one thing I learned as a believer, I want to be challenged all the time. Because I don't want to stay the same. We're not called to stay the same. Move forward for more than what God has for us. So, we're into the series called Influence, and I believe that what I'm going to talk about deeply impacts our personal influence and our walk with God. So, bow your heads, close your eyes, and agree with me in prayer. Thank you, Father in heaven. Father, we know that your word is so powerful. It gets right into the deepest part of us. It could literally change our heart and our mind. Transforms us to become more and more like your son, Jesus. And I pray that that word today would do it. Come alive. Convict us, transform us, not just in the way we are and live our life, but in what we do to honor you. Lord, bless this word as it's preached in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about this thing called honor. Honor. I'm going to talk about the culture of honor. And let's face it, we look out in the world and we look on our cell phone and we see so much dishonor happening in the world. We see it in the news media. We see it everywhere. We see it in conversations, you know, that we hear from people. We live in a world where dishonor is becoming more and more normal. We see disrespect happening in homes. We see this in growing cynical attitude towards leaders and leadership, whether it's church leadership or it's, in industry or even in politics, this cynicism towards leadership. We see dishonor in the tearing down of others online. And we see that dishonor when it starts to value opinion over truth. That's dishonor. But let me say this. But the kingdom of God operates by a different standard. It's the culture of honor. Now, honor is not flattery. It's not just agreeing with someone, although it's part of it. It's not a blind loyalty. I believe this is more what honor is, and I think it's on your PowerPoint. It may not be up, but here it is. Honor is it's respecting and responding to the God-given value in any person. Amen? Responding, respecting the God-given value in a person. It is one of the most powerful scriptural principles in Scripture. And it's one that literally, and you're going to see in this message, it unlocks the blessing of God into your life. Honor does that. Honor strengthens relationship. It builds strong relationship. And listen, honor literally attracts the presence of God in your life. I say it's like steel to magnet. Honor attracts God's attention. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Says, be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves. I want to talk to you about the power of honor on your life. Every time you read your Bible and you come across this Bible truth, this Bible principle, if you can just get a hold of that principle and you start to practice and incorporate it into your life, every single time, it is guaranteed, it will produce and release God's blessing, God's favor, God's ability for him to do mighty works, miracles in your life. And here's one very powerful thing that I am convinced that can limit your life if you don't have it. And it's this. It's the spirit of honor. If you don't have the spirit of honor, it will dramatically affect your life. Today, we live in a generation where it's popular to disrespect honor, where it's popular to show dishonor. Did I say that right? It's like, if you want to be popular, if you want to be known, if you want to build a platform for yourself before people, just show dishonor. When I was growing up as a kid, I'm Japanese. I come from a Japanese background. My parents were not Christians, but they were Buddhists. But let me tell you, my parents taught us. They disciplined us when it came to honor. You know, I recently had a conversation with my cousin Ken, and he was quite a bit older than us. And he said, Dougie, he calls me Dougie. He said, Dougie, I remember when you kids and your family came to our place, and it was Auntie Kay's place. He says, I remember all five of you kids sitting on this one couch in a row, and you were so quiet, and you were so polite. He says, that amazed him. See, my Auntie Kay, living in Picture Butte, had this small house, but her house was filled with these little ornaments and these of people and animals, and a lot of them were very delicate. And when we were kids, we looked at all these things on the shelf and around the tables, and what do you want to do as a kid? You just want to grab those things and play with them, and possibly break them. Listen, we were allowed to get off the couch to look, but we could never touch them. You see, my parents taught us, we were taught to honor people's places, honor people's property, honor the position and the authority that people had. Positions of authority like teachers, policemen, mothers, fathers, yeah, even grandfathers and grandmothers, grandparents. But now, so many people have a spirit of dishonor. You know, we can dishonor people by what we say, and you certainly see that, by what someone might do. But listen, dishonor can be more than an act. Dishonor can actually be an attitude, a wrong attitude. We can dishonor people with our attitude. For example, somebody in authority comes to you and asks you to do something. And you hear it, and you say, yeah, I'll do it, but there's something in your crawl. And then when you turn around, you roll your eyes. That's dishonor. That is dishonor. I say it's possible to do an honoring thing in a dishonoring way. Amen? We can do our right thing with the wrong attitude. Listen, when we were kids, if we talk back to our parents, if we give them lip, our backsides were literally burning the very next minute. They would not let us get away with that. So what is this thing? How do we get honor? Here, as believers in Christ, number one, it starts with God. Honor starts with God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. This is what God says. Those who honor me, I will honor. I will reward. I will bless. Honor is first vertical before it can really be horizontal. Amen? Question is, how do we honor God? Here's some ways on the screen. Number one, the first way we can honor God is by putting Him first. One of the scriptures that God made me memorize was Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Second way we can honor God is through obedience. Obedience to God's word. What does Jesus say in John 14, 15? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep. And you know, listen, it's not selective obedience. It's not, obedience is when it's even inconvenient that you obey. Amen? Third way we can honor God is prioritizing worship and His presence. Psalm 29, verse 2. This is a Passion Version. Give Him the honor that's due His name. When you come in here, God wants you to honor Him. How do you do that? By worship. Worship. Don't stand there like the wooden Indian, right? Give Him your worship. Step out of yourself and get on to Him. And that's why it says we should be here to worship every opportunity that we get. So Sorry, not just once a month. We're here to worship his presence. Prioritize his worship. Give him the honor due his name. Worship him wearing the glory garments of your holy priestly calling. Here's one more. There's many more. There's one more. We honor God by the way we give, by our financial giving. Proverbs 3, verse 10 and 9, 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your wealth. Your giving honors God. Then look at what happens after that. God will fill your life with good things. Here's the key thought. You cannot properly honor people without learning first to honor God. Amen? I said, this is a good illustration. Think about our solar system. If the sun is not honored as the center of the solar system, chaos breaks out. Everything falls apart. It's the same thing in our lives too as well. If God is the center of our life, everything works out. Some people wonder, how come I got all these problems in my life? How come this is happening? How come they're blessed? You know, maybe look at where you are. Is Jesus really the center of your life? Amen? I said the number one reason that the world doesn't honor each other is because the world doesn't know God and know how to honor him. Amen? Number two, honor has to be taught. You know the first place you teach honor? Parents, you teach it at home. We need to teach honor to the next generation. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. I want to point out to you, this is a New Testament scripture. Amen? And it says, for the commandment, honor your father and mother, was the first of the 10 commandments with a promise attached. You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. So, example, if your children aren't being taught to honor you, to respect and obey their parents, you know what's going to happen? They're going to grow up. They're going to leave the home. They're going to find a job. And if their boss tells them to do something that they don't like, if they treat their boss the same way they treated you, if they gave him just a little bit of lip, you know what they're going to get in return? A pink slip. Don't be surprised if you set your kids up for failure. Amen? Honoring is not just doing something, not just doing what something asks you to do. But the question is, are you doing it with the right attitude? Amen? The spirit of honor, I said, it needs to be taught in our homes, in our families, in our churches. Amen? Number three, honor releases the supernatural. Supernatural. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, talks about Jesus. He had just come from another town. He's coming to his hometown. He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters here? In other words, isn't he just a man? He's not a God. He's not the son of God. He's just a man. He says, then where did he get this man, get all these things? And verse 57 says, and they took offense at him. They had contempt for him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And notice the next few words there. And he did no mighty works there. Now, in the previous chapter, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, talks about Jesus ministering all over the place and all these people coming to hear him. And he was preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. Well, when he got into this town called Capernaum, it actually says these words in that chapter. He healed them all. He healed them all. But then he goes to his hometown. And what does it say? Jesus could do no mighty miracles, no mighty works in Nazareth. Listen, Not because he lacked power, not because he didn't want to. You know why? Number one, not just unbelief, but because the people lacked honor. They didn't honor him. They would talk and say, oh, he's just a man. He's just Joseph's son. He's just a carpenter. Just this and that. They did not show him honor. And as a result, it literally cut off his power from flowing into their lives. Here we see in the story, you can be around the most anointed, holy person and not get a blessing, not get a breakthrough from them. Here, listen to this. Whoever you honor, whoever you honor is open to you. He's open to bless you. But whoever you dishonor is closed to you. It closes you off from the blessing that God intended to give you to that person. Amen? Your attitude can literally, if you have a bad attitude, it can literally shut off your ability to receive from them. Dishonor here in this story, cut off, literally cut off the supernatural power of Jesus from flowing into their lives. Listen, your reception matters. Amen? Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 10:41. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's what? When you honor, you get rewarded. So if you want God to do more in your home, your career, your workplace, your family, your marriage, your church, then you need to raise the level of honor. I see here, and there's a warning here. The warning is this, be careful. Be careful. Because the spirit of dishonor can attach itself to you. Amen? Go to this story. We're going to go to this story in Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12 talks about Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. What was the common thing about them? They were all related. They were siblings, brothers and sister, right? And they all had the same mom, an incredible woman, Jochebed. Raised up three incredible people, right? But here, in this instance, Miriam and Aaron, it says, began to talk about against their brother Moses because of his Cushite wife. For he had married a Cushite. They began to talk against Moses because he had married a woman who was from a different nationality. And she had a different color. She was an Ethiopian, a Cushite. And so they began to talk against Moses, but they didn't just criticize him for that. They went even further. Verse 2, they said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked, hasn't he also spoken through us? And then read the next few words. And the Lord heard this. I see God pays attention to the way that we honor or the way we dishonor others. And notice right away, you know, it says that Moses is the humblest man on the face of the earth. Notice verse 4. What does it say? At once. As soon as God heard those words coming out of their mouths, it says, at once, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of the meeting, all three of you. So all three of them went out. He says, I don't want you to meet inside. I want you to meet right in front, right now. It says that then, so the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. This is incredible. He literally sees the form of God. Then God says, well, then, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And it says, the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. And verse 10 says, and when the cloud lifted from the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous, became white as snow. They had to confine Miriam outside the camp because she had leprosy. In those days, when you got leprosy, you were isolated. Leprosy in Scripture is very symbolic. Leprosy is very contagious. The spirit of dishonor is like leprosy. When you had leprosy, it affected your nerve endings, so that you lost your feelings. I say, when people have the spirit of dishonor, they lose their ability to sense God, sense holy conviction. Not only that, they lose their ability to feel like God. They lose their ability to reach out with compassion and love and sensitivity towards other people. Amen? So what does Moses do? Moses sees this. He cries out to God, oh God, heal her. In verse 14, it says, the Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. God pays attention to the way we honor or dishonor people. Amen? Be careful that the spirit of dishonor doesn't get a hold of your life. Genesis, one more story here. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. Genesis chapter 9 is the event that happened right after the flood. 40 days, 40 nights, rain and flood are over. The ark of God settles on Mount Ararat. Creation is starting all over through this man, Noah. Noah, the man of God, the man who heard from God, the mighty man that God used literally to preserve creation, to build this ark by faith. Amen? Noah, it says here, Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. And when he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. Verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, one of the sons, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked, and he told his two brothers outside. What happened? Ham saw the uncovered flesh of his father. Amen? Let me say this. No matter how holy, how anointed someone appears to be behind the pulpit or behind any great ministry, there's always a part of them that we don't always see that's called flesh. Amen? And yet, God still uses us. Isn't that amazing? You know what the Bible says? We all have this treasure. What's the treasure? Jesus, the kingdom of God in us. But listen, it's all of us have this treasure, but it's in earthen vessels. It's flesh. There's always a flesh part of us. And it says here that Ham ran out and he told everyone, he told his brothers what he saw. We're talking about the spirit of dishonor here. Amen? Verse 23, but Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their naked father. What did they have? Different spirit. They had the spirit of honor. Verse 24 says, when Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him. Verse 25, he said, cursed be Canaan. Did you notice that? He didn't say, cursed be Ham. He said, cursed be Canaan. Cursed be the next generation. Amen? May Canaan be the slave of Shem. But he also said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. And then he said in verse 27, may God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be the slave of Japheth. You know, it's like God is saying, whether it's honor or dishonor, that if we honor God and we honor others, it will be passed down to our children and to our children's children. We live in this world. It's so obvious. It's so much dishonor. But in this world of dishonor, I said, no matter what the world says, it doesn't matter. No matter what the press is screaming out, and no matter what the majority of people do and say, we are to be a people of honor. Amen? God wants to build a culture of honor in this house for us and for our children's children. Show honor. Don't be caught with the spirit of dishonor. Number four, honor swims against the current tide of dishonor. In today's world, I say more and more, honor is just going to stand out. And honor will shine. It will stand out. Last week, Karen and I celebrated our 44th wedding anniversary. We got married when we were teenagers. And we were in a, yeah, thank you. And we had a great supper, a meal at one of my favorite restaurants in Spokane called P.F. Chang's, Chinese food. And as we were going, it's a very popular restaurant, and it's a big restaurant, and we were just leaving, and we were going out these big glass doors, and then, you know, and people were coming in, and this whole group of young people, young adults, teenagers were coming through, and they were just kind of blasting through that door and rushing through, and so we had to stand back, and we were just kind of waiting for this crowd of kids to come through, but there was one young man, just one teenager. He looked and he saw Karen and I right to that door. You know what he did? He jumped out of the crowd. And he opened that door and he held it open for everybody and for us. He held it open for us. And we literally walked through that open door. And as we walked through, we looked at him. We thought, this is extraordinary. And he smiled and acknowledged us. You know what? That young man literally shone out with his honor. We were so honored. We were so blessed. We thought, and I thought, that is amazing. That kid stands right out. And then Karen and I, as we left, we prayed. We said, God, bless that young man. Bless it, that young man. You know what the Lord said to me? That young man has a great future because he knows how to honor people. So honoring. Honor will stand out more and more in today's world. In the opening of the iconic series, Chosen, it shows a graphic animation of a whole school of fish, all gray, and they're swimming in the same direction. But then notice there's one fish, and it literally it's swimming, but it's swimming in the opposite direction. And as it's swimming in the opposite direction and swimming into this gray mass, a school of fish, another fish notices this fish and turns around and starts to follow. And it turns blue too until there are 13 fish that have literally changed, begins to change the color. You know what that represents? 13 fish represents Christ and his disciples. Christ is the leader. And he calls us to be counterculture to the world. Amen? I say, I think it's A.W. Tozer says, for the Christian, he's called to walk facing the winds of hell. He'll be facing the winds of hell. We're walking in the opposite direction. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, good, pleasing, and perfect world. Listen, God's will is that we be a counter-culture people, walking in different ways, different values, different destinations. Amen? And we're called to change as many destinations of the people that we come in contact and we brush by in life. Amen? We're called to be counter-cultural. Showing honor to people will release the mighty works of God in your life, not just in your life, but in your children's life and your children's children's life. God is a God of generations. We sang that today. He's the God of who? Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob. And every one of those guys had an encounter. And every one of those lives, God did something so that they honor their lives honored him. Amen? Number five, honor sees value where others do not see. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. God says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Honor doesn't wait for someone to earn value. It recognizes their God-given worth. Honor sees. When you have honor, you see what God sees. Honor sees what God sees. Honor sees the calling in people, not just their flaws. Honor sees the potential in your children, not just their mistakes. Honor sees the dignity in every single person, whether they're the rich, they're poor, they're young, or old. Honor sees. I said, here's a good example. Someone gives you a crisp, clean, $100 bill and puts it into your hand. What is that worth? What is that worth? $100, right? Okay, but somebody else takes that from your hand, crumples it up, and he throws it into the dirt. What's it worth? Still $100. Here's the moral. People may be damaged. People may be dirty. People may be hurt, crumpled up by the world, but they still carry God's given worth. Every single person you look at, you've got to see God's worth, or you'll be prejudiced, you'll walk away, you'll disregard. Even the smallest person can bless you. You know that? Number six, because I'm going to give you two more real quick. Honor is tested most. You know where it's tested the most? Difficult relationships. 1 Peter 2:17. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your leaders. Honor your rulers. But it's really saying honor everyone. Honor everyone. And I said that includes people who disagree with you, people who may disappoint you. People who hurt you. If you look at, God calls David a man after my own heart. Amen? There's so many reasons why. And if you read your Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 24, I'll just briefly mention this. Saul, the current king, was out to murder David. David, he knew, was to be the next king. And it was a practice of kings. If there was any opposition to the throne, you went after them, you killed them, you got rid of him and every one of his family members. Saul was after David and his family. He was after him. They're in a cave. David has many opportunities. This time, Saul's in a cave. He's relieving himself. David's sitting there in it. Is in that cave they're hiding when Saul comes in. And his friends are telling him, this is your opportunity, David, take his life. Take his life. All he wants to do is murder you. This is what David said. I will not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Lord's anointed. David honored Saul's position. We see that, his position. Even when Saul was acting so dishonorably to him. Listen, when somebody, we honor their office, we honor their authority, we honor the place where where God has raised them up to. Amen? I said, honoring people doesn't mean that you approve of their behavior or their lifestyle or their style. It means recognizing their God-given value despite what you may not like about them. Amen? I said, we have guest ministry in this place. And every single person who comes into this place to speak and minister is vetted. That's the new term, vetted. We check their background. We check their lifestyle. They're not going to be perfect. And they're going to be ministering in their own particular style in every way, but they're vetted. And they're brought into the house to bless the house, to build a church, and to bless you. And sometimes you'll have people come in that maybe you don't like. It doesn't particularly appear to you. Maybe they shout hallelujah too much. Or maybe they're dressed differently. And we've had different people come in. But you know, we need to honor those people because of what they can give to you. Amen? I'm going too long on that. Romans chapter 3, verse 1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Listen, parents are authorities. Bosses are authority, right? You can honor a parent. Even if they weren't perfect, if they failed, you can still honor a boss without having to agree with everything that they tell you to do. You can just say yes and do it with the right attitude. You can honor your spouse, right? Even in seasons of conflict. Honor is a heart issue. Honor is a heart posture, not an endorsement. Last one. Honor is the key to blessing. Matthew chapter 10, 41 and 42. Jesus said, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Reward, reward. And if anyone gives even a cold cup of water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly, I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Here's the principle on your screen. Honor brings blessing. Dishonor brings limitation. So here's what honor can do. When you have honor in your marriage, you know what it does? It creates unity. It promotes love, and it brings a protection to your marriage. When you honor in the church, it establishes the authority, it brings in the anointing, and it puts a spiritual covering over the whole house. I pray for you guys all the time. I may not know you so personally, but I say, Lord, I pray your prayer covering of your name and your blood over every single member of City Light Church. Those who are right in the peripheral, even on the edges, I pray the divine protection of God. Honor establishes the anointing. Honor in the workplace. In your workplace, you know what that does? It increases your influence, sets you up for promotion. Here's the conclusion. God is calling us to build a culture of honor. God wants the next generation to have the spirit of honor in their lives. Amen? I say, when people come into the church, we need to have an honor culture in our house. We don't have to agree with everything about them, their lifestyle or dress. And you're going to see people that thinking, whoa, I don't know about them. But the question is this. It's the WWJD. You know what that means? What would Jesus do with that person that comes through the door? Despite their lifestyle, what they would believe from, whatever cult they might have come out, no matter what they've come out, no matter what their criminal record is, we honor every single person because of their God-given value. Amen? We honor, and above all else, we honor God in our culture. Our honoring culture is this. We honor up, we honor down, and we honor all around. Amen? Bow your heads. I believe that God wants to challenge every single one of us today. And I'm going to ask you today that will you ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you? I know he's done this to me. Like I shared this morning in the earlier service, man, this is one message when I was preparing. I was literally on my knees. And God started to reveal and show things to me as I asked him. Ask him, where have I dishonored God? Ask him, who have I dishonored with my words or actions or even an attitude? Ask yourself, where is God calling me to raise my standard of honor. Let's choose honor. Choose honor. Not because people deserve it so much, but just because God is worthy. We are to be a people of his kingdom. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray a prayer. Will you please agree with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. Help us to honor you in everything that we do and to honor people that you placed in our lives. Where there's been dishonor, bring healing. Where there's been pride, bring humility. Holy Spirit, empower us to live with love, respect, and integrity. Make us to be the people of honor who reflect your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. We keep your heads bowed closed, or heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just a minute. Because I believe there may be one or two here. Maybe you've never really given your heart to God. Maybe you've never personally asked him to come into your heart. But this is the day that God is asking you to make the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. You know what the Bible says? The wages of sin? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we all fall short. We all make mistakes. We all blow it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's death. That means hell, not eternal life. But then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. And it also says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've never done it, I want to give you this opportunity. If you're watching online, same thing. Bow your heads, close your eyes. You can whisper this prayer out loud. You can say it in your head. You say it with all your heart, seriously. God will hear every single word. Amen? Repeat. No, you can repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe the Bible. I believe that Christ, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Please forgive me for all my sins. And today, right now, Lord, I invite you into my life, into my heart, to my heart, to be Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for a new life, a new beginning through Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you gave your heart to Jesus, you gave your heart to God, will you raise your hand? Anyone here? Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you said that prayer online, touch that little hand at the bottom of the screen. We'll connect you to talk to someone. If you said that prayer, I didn't see your hand, please go back to the Connections kiosk. We'll tell you what your next step, faith, in your great walk and adventure with Jesus Christ. Amen.